delighted to be here again. I was thankful for the invitation from Mark and just delighted to be in worship with you again. The scripture that was read from Ephesians, it might sound a little bit familiar, like you've heard maybe something like this before or maybe this one exactly before, but that's probably because it's in the Bible in a couple of different places. There are very similar messages in the book of Corinthians and in Romans. Now, maybe it just was a coincidence because Paul wrote all three books, but maybe it's that the people in Corinth, the people in Ephesus, and the people of Rome all kind of needed to hear this message. And I think even if, you know, lots of people need to hear this message, that maybe it's still a good message for us today. And I think it's kind of a good lesson that if it's in the Bible in a couple of different places, that maybe it's a little worthwhile, and that maybe it's a big deal, and we can read it. And even if we hear it a couple of different times, it'll probably speak to us a little bit differently in different ways. We have heard the phrase, to be called in church before. Often ministers will say that they were called to ordained ministry. But we're all called to be doing to a variety of things. Maybe we're called to be teachers, social workers, farmers. Maybe we're called to be a dog owner, a chicken owner. Maybe we're called to be someone's friend at just the right time. Maybe we're called to be a parent, a small business owner, a spouse, a chef, to serve the church, to volunteer. The list can go on and on. But we all have so many different gifts from God. Maybe it takes us some time to find them. Maybe we need some little bit of time to develop those gifts. Maybe some of the gifts that we have early in our life change and evolve over time. And maybe we don't even recognize them or really answer them for many years. Several of you popped into the nursery this morning, and you may have seen my toddler, he just turned two. And so he's just running around in the nursery, having a great time. Actually, when everyone saw him, he was probably still wearing pajamas because this morning we got up and just went from bed to car. But right after he gets up in the mornings, usually, he usually likes to have some alone time and to cuddle a little bit and to maybe watch a show or a movie, which I will happily oblige a little cuddles here and there. But one of his favorite movies is from Pixar's Up. Has anyone seen the movie Up? Yeah, it's a good one. And I should probably say spoiler alert, except it's like 10 years old. So if you haven't seen it by now, then you've had time. It's pretty much an hour and a half long sermon by Pixar and Disney. That's not how long I will be, don't you worry. But for me, this movie of Up kind of marks the moment when Pixar's movies kind of just take an emotional turn. I mean, I'm not sure that there's many people that don't get a little teared up watching Up. This movie tells the story of Carl Fredrickson. As a boy, Carl loved to watch movie newsreels and about famous explorers and their different exploits. Then he meets Ellie, a girl who is as outgoing and adventurous as Carl is, very shy and reserved. They develop a deep friendship, and Carl is soon initiated into Ellie's club, to which she's the only other member. Their motto is, adventure is out there. They fill up the pages of Ellie's adventure book with all of their escapades, but they left a section blank that's called, stuff I'm going to do. Ellie makes Carl promise that he will one day take her on a dream trip to exotic Paradise Falls in South America. The beginning of the story then has a well-crafted and moving sequence. There are no words, just background music, and you see some of the story, the early life of Carl and Ellie. We see Carl and Ellie get married, and they buy a house together. We see them joyfully fixing up the house and color painting it, and then the sadness of a doctor's visit when they learn they cannot have kids. We see Carl's job as a balloon salesman at the zoo. We watch as Carl and Ellie save their money to buy plane tickets to this Paradise Falls. But then we also feel their disappointment as they're forced to use those coins to fix flat tires and medical bills. At the end of the montage, as the couple is aging, we see Carl go to a travel agency and purchase 2 tickets to South America. Except the next scene is in a hospital room where Ellie is hooked up to a bunch of IVs. And the final scene is Carl sitting on the steps of a church surrounded by bouquets of flowers, holding those unused plane tickets. Ellie has passed away before Carl could fulfill his promise of taking her to Paradise Falls. He's not only dealing with the pain of losing his partner, but also the guilt of not keeping his promise to her and those empty pages in Ellie's adventure book. The story picks up with Carl in his beloved house, but he's changed. With Ellie gone, he's gloomier, he's more crotchety, and kind of just grumpy. Ellie brought color to his world, but now it's dull and gray. His features have changed, and Carl is stuck in his grief. He keeps his house exactly the way it was when Ellie was alive, and preserving the past. He is propositioned by a local developer to try and sell his house, to which he has an emphatic no over and over again. Finally, he's ordered by a judge to sell his house. It's like losing Ellie all over again. But rather than sell his house, Carl, the former balloon salesman, inflates thousands of helium balloons, ties them to his house, and the house just lifts up and floats away. This is the point in the story where my husband tells me that I need to be quit being so realistic, because obviously that cannot happen. And so magically, the house is floating away, and they magically make it to South America in like 5 minutes. I'm pretty sure it takes longer than that to get there. But while floating at about 30,000 feet, he hears a knock on his front door. A wilderness scout, think of kind of a Boy Scout, named Russell, is trying to earn his last merit badge of helping the elderly and got trapped on Carl's front porch when his house took off. He just wanted to be alone and have the quietness by himself with his grief, and now he has this pesky little kid. Why is Carl taking such drastic measures? Wouldn't it be easier for him to give up the fight, sell his house, and move to the retirement home? Well, it might seem easier to us, but Carl is living his life backwards rather than forwards. He just wants life to be the way it used to be, when he was happy and with Ellie. And he knows, he just knows, that if he can get their house to Paradise Falls, then he can recapture the joy and relieve himself of the guilt that he feels for disappointing Ellie. So there we have Carl, Russell, the adventure scout, and the house arrive at Paradise Falls. While there, they meet some new companions, including Kevin, a big rainbow-colored female bird, and Doug, a dog with a collar that translates everything he says to English words. But even with these new characters, the story is still very much about Carl's attempt to fulfill his promise to Ellie, even at the expense of not helping his new friends. Carl finally gets his house to the exact spot at Paradise Falls that he wants, gets the furniture just where it belongs, sits back in his chair to enjoy the peace and quiet that he has been working so hard for. But that peace just does not come. He thought he could recapture the joy of his past, but he's only reminded of how he failed Ellie. So he takes out the adventure book to reminisce about their adventures together. But when he gets to the section labeled, "Stuff I'm Going to Do," he expects to find the pages empty. Instead, they are filled with pictures of Carl and Ellie's life together. Their wedding together, they're going out to dinner, birthdays, lots of family celebrations. It was a life of a grand adventure. Written on the last page in Ellie's handwriting, it says, "Thanks for the great adventure. Now go have a new one." This life that we're living, the one that we have, and it might not be exactly what we had planned. Things might not be exactly how we wanted them. We might not have the house that we dreamed of or the car that we wanted. Maybe we had lots of different financial stresses that are keeping us from them. But it's not a detour from the life that we thought we were going to have, because it is our life. It's our life with its joys and challenges. Sometimes it really just is not what we wanted. And sometimes we might trade it in, but it's our life. It's your adventure, it's my adventure, it's ours. Like Carl, we can wish for a different life, a better life, for things to change. We can stay stuck in our grief or disappointment. But if we do, we're missing out on the adventure of a life that is right in front of us, the new thing that God is doing in our lives. Ellie's note absolves Carl of his regret. His features soften, and the square, dull, grumpy man comes to life in order to save his friends. So he takes everything out of his house and does what he needs to do to help his friends. With a whole new attitude, a new personality, bright shining, and his house floats away to try and save them. His life is no longer defined by the regrets of his past, but by the love and relationships he is experiencing in the present. As he and his Russell have experienced lots of different adventures together, Russell has shared that he doesn't really have a father figure. He doesn't have a dad that takes him camping or that does things with him, and it makes him very sad. And Carl, who's there and never had children, envelops him and encourages him and loves him as his own. The experience that they have together of different things and even just going in to get ice cream together is exactly what each other needed. I am sure we've all been in the wilderness at some point. We've traveled through the desert and we're here. But God has done a new thing for us. Maybe God is doing a new thing for you right now. Are you stuck looking at the ground or looking backward at what used to be? Well, this movie, and I think God does, encourages us to look up, because Jesus is here. Jesus is at work in us, calling us into our new adventure. I pray that we have the courage to follow him, to fly away from our past, from what God has planned for us. As the credits are rolling, we see pictures of Carl and Russell doing all kinds of things together. Carl is active. He has a smile on his face. He has recognized new gifts in himself and found a way to enjoy life, a life worthy of his calling. It's a beautiful movie with a beautiful story to be shared. A story that kind of envelops the scripture that we read. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to read these messages in the Bible and maybe even from stories from Pixar and learn from them. Learn about what we can do with our blessings, our calls, our gifts from God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we give thanks for unexpected blessings, unexpected gifts that we may have, and for encouraging us to share those gifts, to find them, to love them, and to be a part of our lives. Be with us as we continue to share this message on this day, every day, and everywhere we go.